Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry. Clean feel all day.
Don't make me say I told you so.
This is the Rich Eisen Show. Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The Celtics score 40 points in the fourth quarter. Boston 120, Golden State 108.
There's nothing to panic about.
This isn't over by a long shot.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, Basketball Hall of Famer Gary Payton, host of NBC's American Ninja Warrior, Akbar Bajabiamila. Coming up, Pro Football Hall of Famer Mike Singletary, plus jazz forward Juancho Hernan Gomez. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Ah, yes. Okay. Ah, yes. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show on the air, taking you to the first weekend of June 2022. Juancho Hernan Gomez, the Utah Jazz basketball player. Currently starring in the film Hustle in theaters near you this weekend. The Adam Sandler headlined LeBron James Maverick Carter co-produced film about a basketball player trying to make it in Spain with a down on his luck scout played by Adam Sandler.
Sucks,
that's going to be on Netflix for your streaming viewing next week.
Juancho
is going to join us in studio, and he was on the Celtics really at the outset of this year that did not start very well. And looks to be now just three wins away from finishing in spectacular fashion.
In dreamlike fashion.
Say that again?
Banner 18
for the Boston Celtics. Juancho is here, and he will be in studio shortly. If you missed Mike Singletary, if you missed Gary Payton talking about last night and his son still not suiting up but not playing yet, and we also brought up the Last Dance moment with Jordan and Gary Payton, brought that up to Gary Payton. Basically. If you missed any of that, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Also, Akbar Bajabiamila, a lot of fun with him on this program last hour, talking about American Ninja Warrior and then the slap heard round for the fantasy world. He's a diehard fantasy guy.
Yes.
Well,
exactly.
You missed it. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show. It's the weekend coming up, which means it's time for our Friday fun. What's more likely? Christopher Brockman, you have the stage. Based on a lot of stuff that went down this week.
Go
for it.
What?
What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
Ah, what do you have over there, Chris?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
What up, Chris?
Hey. How you doing,
right.
G?
Doing all right.
You don't want to say...
Like, what's more likely? Am I doing well or not? Is that the first what's more likely? How am I doing? What's more likely?
How are you doing?
Well, or you're not well?
All right, guys, let's talk.
What a way to start.
Well, I was just asking how you're doing.
I'm doing fine. Okay. Thanks for asking.
Let's wildly speculate in the world of the NFL. We talked yesterday about Tua, Rich. It seems like you're in. You're in on Tua for this year?
I'm in on salty Tua. I'm in on salty Tua.
Are you in on successful Tua?
I don't know about you, but that looked like money.
I'm kind of on the fence. What do you got over there?
So what's more likely? So Tua has about 33 career touchdowns,
yes,
rushing and throwing in his two seasons.
Damon Lindelof.
So what's more likely? Tua combines for 30 touchdowns.
And starts screaming at him.
Or... He struggles and Tom Brady is the Dolphins quarterback in 2023.
That's the one that's more likely. That Tua struggles and Brady is the quarterback in 2023. You didn't think I was going to say that, did you? Well, I don't think Tua is going to combine for 30 touchdowns. That's a lot of touchdowns, and I know this offense can turn into a lot of touchdowns. But that he would have to go from, as you said, 33 in his entire first two seasons where he hasn't played a full season, whether it's due to injury or the fact he wasn't ready when he was removed for the recently retired, soon to be Amazon star Ryan Fitzpatrick. That's a tall order. That's a tall, tall order. So I will piss off the Tuanon people. And I am here for salty Tua. And I want Tua to succeed. But that he's not the quarterback next year. And it's Brady more likely than Tua combining for 30 touchdowns this year.
Threw me for a loop.
I did. You thought I would go. I'd be all Tuanon, didn't
like
you?
All Tua.
No. I'm still not. I haven't talked myself into Tua yet. Okay. That wasn't one of my top five things. that I've talked myself into. You should check that out on our YouTube stream.
I can't wait for part two of that in like 6 weeks.
What else?
All right, what's more like? You guys see what Jarvis Landry said earlier today?
Go for
guys?
It.
He said that he's having a great time dominating down at Saints. Happy. One of the reasons why he picked there, other than it being his hometown, he thinks Jameis Winston is a leader and can lead this team. So what's more likely? More wins in 2022, Jarvis Landry's new team or his old one, the Browns?
I'll go with Jarvis Landry's new team, the Saints.
36.
Michael Thomas coming back. I do like Jameis. I think the Saints, as you remember last year, a playoff team. I still need to see what the Browns are going to look like, and I have no idea what Deshaun Watson is going to look like or what this team is going to look like or if we're going to see Deshaun Watson at all. Every single day, anything comes out more about these civil lawsuits about Deshaun Watson, it looks worse, sounds worse, appears to be worse, and the idea that they vetted everything and were fine with whatever they learned and gave him $230 million in guaranteed money just becomes that much more mystifying. His lawyer, Rusty Hardin, today talked on local radio in Houston about how many people out there in the audience haven't had a happy ending, and that's not illegal. If you've had a happy ending to your massage, and making people uncomfortable is not illegal in massage rooms. It's just like, hey, brother, it might not have been illegal, but what it is absolutely suspendable behavior in the National Football League and questions all of the motives and thoughts of a team that decides to give him every dollar guaranteed. I have no idea what the Browns are going to look like this year. I have a better sense of what the Saints are going to look like this year with Winston coming back from a knee injury. And, yeah, so there's that.
You're going Saints.
I'm going Saints on the answer there. More likely the Saints have more wins this year than the Browns do. Yeah.
I like it. I like it. Okay, guys, we watched the match this week. We loved it. We love the match.
Yes, we did.
Four big quarterbacks, four big teams with Super Bowl aspirations. So I'm throwing this out there for you guys. What's the more likely championship game, not Super Bowl, championship game, conference championship game out matchup? Bucks-Packers.
Mm.
That's Brady Rodgers were teammates.
From 2 years ago.
Or Bills-Chiefs.
From last year.
Allen and Mahomes were the teammates this year.
Right, so last year was Bills and the Chiefs. Oh, that was 2 years ago from the both. Those were the conference championship games 2 years ago. I'm sorry, I got confused. I know that the Bills and Chiefs played each other last year, in the playoffs, divisional round.
More likely coming up this year.
Which is the more likely matchup, conference championship game?
Yeah, Bucks, Packers, Bills, Chiefs. Based on the match.
I'll go Bucks Packers because it's a clear path to the conference championship game path in the NFC. Don't you think? There are tough teams in the NFC that can derail it, but there are more AFC teams that could get one of those Bills or Chiefs teams in the first couple rounds.
I think you're right, especially if you think Raiders win that division.
Right, that means the Chiefs have to start on the road. Less of an Arrowhead situation. And more of an opportunity for maybe Bills and Chiefs playing each other in a round earlier than conference championship. How does that sound? So I'll take the 2-12s, the OGs, the winners of the match.
Old heads.
Yeah, I'll do that. That's more likely.
Hey, do you know who led the NFL on offense last year, TJ?
The Dallas Cowboys?
You know who led the NFL in scoring and touchdowns last year, TJ?
The Dallas Cowboys?
And we can all agree Cowboys didn't get better this offseason, right?
That is one of the things I talked myself into over the last several weeks, yes. That the
Which
Cowboys
team in
have
that division do we think did get better?
Philadelphia.
What's more likely, who's more likely to have the better offense this year? Cowboys or Eagles?
Oh, baby. TJ, A.J. Brown's there, right?
I guess.
Okay.
I guess.
Who had one of the best running attacks last year?
The Cowboys.
Okay. No, I mean, we're talking overall offense. I think the Eagles didn't they have the number one rushing offense last year? Something to Google. Got to be in there.
Who does Micah Parsons play for?
Okay.
Oh. Okay.
No, we're talking about offense.
It doesn't matter.
Does Micah Parsons? Micah said he wants to play offense.
Micah can play tight end, quarterback, running back, left tackle, or punter. Okay. It doesn't matter.
Okay. I know. I'll take the Eagles. Of course. More likely to have a better offense. Dude, Amari Cooper's not walking through that door. Cedric Wilson's not walking through that door.
He might already be there.
A healthy week one, Michael Gallup's not walking through that door.
I mean, you don't know who we got.
Eagles, number one rush offense, number one rushing touchdown.
Yeah, brother. That team returns. That team's got A.J. Brown. That team's got Jalen Hurts. Yeah, man. I'll take it.
All right, last one because I saw this quote.
Okay.
All right, we'll get one more.
Very good.
Thanks, George. Jamar Chase said, you see this quote from Jamar Chase?
No.
He said last year he was just running around. He didn't even know what he was doing. This year now, he's focused on the little things.
Is that the direct quote? Is that a direct quote?
I'm paraphrasing.
Okay.
And this year, though, guys, he's got the little things down.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Who catches more touchdowns this year? Jamar Chase or any wide receiver from the 2022 draft?
Oh, Jamar Chase. I didn't stutter. I'm in on the Bengals, guys. Oh, that should have been one of the things I've talked myself into also.
But you're not fully there yet.
Oh, I'm there.
On the Bengals.
I'm there. I was there from the beginning. Does Vegas still have the Browns, whose quarterback may or may not be starting week one? Whose lawyer went on local radio today and basically asked the listening audience, who among us in the listening audience has never had a happy ending at the end of a massage? Am I right, guys?
Am I right?
That was literally his lawyer said that on the radio today. Does Vegas still have that team with better Super Bowl odds than the team that just went to the Super Bowl in the AFC?
Nah, it actually flipped now.
Of course it did, because there's some reasonable odds making.
Well, let me check this.
Come on, man. As of last week, the Browns still had a better shot at the odds makers.
Last week, the Browns were better.
Well, I mean, I think there's some coffee being smelled finally.
Yeah.
Jamar Chase is now saying he's going to have more of an idea of what to do? Is that what you're basically saying?
He's saying he's now got the little things down, whereas last year he was just kind of
all those big plays he was making was just him pirouetting and running away from people. Now he's just going to route run his way to the open space, and then he'll run away from people, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much.
Yeah, Jamar Chase. I mean, if I had to choose which player might have the most touchdowns out of the rookie receiving class this year? I mean, I need more time on that. My first thought would be, would it be Drake London in Atlanta? I don't know if the quarterback is going to be the proper trigger man for it.
I might go Olave.
I mean, you could go Olave in New Orleans. Sky Moore in Kansas City.
Christian Watson.
In Green Bay?
Yeah. Gonna get a lot of chances.
Yeah, could it be the Wilson connection?
I have articulated in the past and I will in the future.
I'll put a pin in that one, but for the moment, Jamar Chase above them all.
100%. Who has the right and the authority and the capability of making public health decisions.
Took a lot of time away from you. So let's do the grab bag on the way out the door.
Operating on the principle.
Let's do the grab bag on the way out the door. I know you can't. We're now in the nether region. I just went down of our radio clock
here. The CDC. So it's more of a matter of principle.
I know that you know. I know that I know that too.
Than it is about whether or not there's going to be a mandate on a plane.
I know that you know that I know that.
All right, let's take a break. Let's take a break now, and let's get our in-studio guest out here.
Man. I'm pumped to talk to him.
Okay. Because, I mean, how do you find which NBA player is the best actor? I mean, I guess if you're going to go, let's get one from Spain that narrows the choices, right?
Yeah, that definitely narrows the choices.
You had to get someone from overseas.
Right. That kind of fit with the...
Luka was too busy having a beer with Boban, but Boban is in the film.
Boban's in every film.
Right?
Boban is a new leading man.
Okay. Juancho Hernan Gomez of the Utah Jazz and the film Hustle when we come back right here on this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Back here, Juancho Hernan Gomez here on the Rich Eisen Show from the Utah Jazz and now the film Hustle. We just saw a clip of you, Juancho, with Adam Sandler in the scene where he, as the scout, is trying to get you in shape for the NBA scouting combine to impress. And so when you said you and your sister are sitting in the home during the pandemic to do the castings, it was you. So you were aware there was a film being made that required a basketball player to act?
Yeah, right? They asked me about the December.
And I told them no until March.
Netflix or the film did?
Yeah.
Reached out to you in December of 2019.
To my agent.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right.
To my basketball agent.
Right.
And I was telling him, no, I'm not interested in doing a movie. I mean, I'm no actor. I mean, I'm happy enough with my basketball career.
Right.
I'm falling in love with basketball and focused on basketball, and I don't want to be part of the movie.
So you're bored at home with your sister during
and my brother.
And your brother during the pandemic, and they're like, okay, we got nothing better to do. Why don't you try out for this movie?
That's right.
And how did you try out for the movie during the pandemic?
So we didn't know how to do a casting, so we just put the phone on the kitchen mm-hmm. and just... and try to play like a movie. And we were like, hey, yo, I'm Bo Cruz, whatever. And I don't know.
What? You didn't have the actual script? You just
we got the script, but we don't know. Okay. We gotta follow, we gotta improv, we don't know. And you can ask Adam. I don't know what they see on me. For real, like, it was so bad. I got the videos on my phone. I show you later. It was really bad. Yes.
So you just have no, I guess, frame of reference on how to do it, what to do.
I never
did. You ever do a school play ever? No. Never.
No.
Never once. Okay. What about a game night? Do you ever do like a pantomime or you ever do any acting in any way, shape, or form?
Yeah, we play like a movie.
Charades?
No, yeah. I mean, when we play with the friends, I have a lot of imagination. So okay. When I was a kid, I get a sword and I fight, you know, and I get killed and I down on the floor. But I never act. I never do a casting.
So you send this video in, and you think, what? You got?
No, I think, okay, I did it, so keep moving.
And then when's your phone ring? What
so
happened
next? So they told me they like it, so I don't know why. They told me they like it. I want to do another Zoom call with the director of the casting, and we start from there. And then I got a next Zoom call with the director of the movie, and then the next Zoom with Adam.
With Adam Sandler.
Yes. And then that's when I was like, wow, this is going to be pretty serious. Like, these are real. I thought it was like, I'm going to do like a cameo, like a small part of a movie, or they want me to, I don't know, shoot the ball. But I never expect to be
a main character. Yes. Like, the movie's about you. Like, this is, well, obviously about Adam Sandler's character as well.
He's
and your relation
one.
Together. No, but I mean, so clearly, this is a main role. Like, you're a main actor. You're not a best supporting, or you're not supporting anything. I mean, you're, but so did you know, have you seen Sandler's movies? Did you know?
Yeah, I seen for sure. I mean, in Spain, he's big. But
which one? Which movie Sandler got his favorite Sandler movies?
Waterboy.
Okay.
Happy Gilmore. All of them. I mean, he's so funny from to Spain too. Like, everybody loves him so much in all the world.
Of course.
But I when I meet him, I wasn't nervous. Like, I was more nervous the other day when we do the premiere, taking a picture with LeBron James. And you know, and I'm to be honest, I'm more proud to have that picture than to do a movie. For real, like that's how it is, because I dream about being a basketball player. I've never dreamed to be an actor.
Right. Well, now you're that other dream you didn't know that could be possible, you now have.
Yeah.
I've got Juancho Hernan Gomez here on the Rich Eisen Show. So was LeBron on the set? Did you meet him on the set or anything?
No,
like
I didn't meet him on the set. We shoot the movie in 2 years.
Yes.
So from the first year to the second year, we play a game. We play against the Lakers. And after the game, LeBron came to me. I mean, we were on the locker room. And he's coming. I was like, oh, LeBron is coming. Where I gonna hide? And he coming to me and say, hey, thank you for doing the movie. You looking great. And I was like, oh, he know me.
this is amazing. I mean, I've been around this sports world for a long time, Juancho. Right. Mm-hmm. And you know, the last 8 years we've been doing this show, and we have, you know, a lot of movie stars and actors and actresses on. And we've been covering the entertainment industry. I've never heard an NBA player go up to another NBA player and say, hey, man, I've seen the dailies, and you look amazing in my movie. Let alone it's LeBron James as well. So, again, I know you're a professional basketball player, and then when you step on the court against the Lakers, that you know, you got to beat this guy.
For
but
sure.
There is a certain star-struck aspect when it comes to LeBron for you, Juancho?
I mean, it's probably an extra motivation playing against him. I mean, he's the best of what he does. For the last 20 years, he's an icon for whatever he do off the court. You know, he make schools, he made He fights for the right actions every time. Mm-hmm. So he's a legend, and when I play against him, he's like, I'm going to show you I can play too.
Right.
So coming from Spain, you know, I'm a kid from Spain playing against the king. Mm-hmm. That's how it is.
Okay. Juancho Hernan Gomez here on the Rich Eisen Show. And so now that you have seen Hustle,
yeah,
what do you think?
I mean, I like it. I mean,
screw the movie. Your performance.
No, I mean, Watch I don't know. I don't know.
I don't mean to say screw the movie in front of the Netflix people. My apologies.
No, I'm saying, like, I like the movie, but the movie, the 2 hours of the movie, don't show how hard we work for the movie. We work so hard for 2 years. Everybody work really, really hard. Not just the actors, like off the cameras, the camera members, the makeup, the directors, the audio, whatever. They work so hard the first year with the pandemic. And I don't know how we make a movie through the pandemic. So it's a shootout for all of them.
Well, we just showed a photograph. Mike Hoskins, I'm talking to our producer right now. If you don't mind, I'm putting it back up on the screen. It's filled with cameos. And whenever there's a movie that I'm helping promote through somebody here to promote it, I'm a little hesitant sometimes to talk about all the surprises that people can have. Mm-hmm. But right here on the screen is a photograph of Anthony Edwards of the Minnesota Timberwolves. In the film, in his draft combine shirt, and the look that he's giving you, part of me thinks is, how'd you get this role and not me? That's what I'm looking at right there. Is what Anthony Edwards, because he strikes me as he has some acting ability in his future
as
well.
Great. So it was funny because I shoot half of the movie before he came to Minnesota, and I played 1 year with Anthony.
Yes.
And when I meet him, he was the number one pick. When I meet him, I told Adam, I told Jeremiah, director, hey, I think we got the Kermit. I think he's going to be, like, he was the same as Kermit as the real life. He loved to talk. He act cocky, but he's a nice guy. Mm-hmm. He thinks he's the best in every sport. And I told him on the locker room, like, hey, Anthony, I'm doing a movie and you can be a really big part. And he was, from the first day, like, so interested. And then he do the castings. He worked with the acting coach. We got the same acting coach. Mm-hmm. It's Noel Gentile. And thanks for her, we did the movie, and he was so nice and so good on his performance. And the reason is we got so much chemistry after we play 1 year together. Like, we can say whatever, we can fight. And then when they say cut, we just hug each other. We were laughing, we were playing one-on-ones, and that's the love we got.
Yeah, although it's not all just like Anthony Edwards, because Kermit doesn't have a dog in the movie named Kermit Jr., right? Like, that's... that may be my favorite Anthony Edwards fact. Do you know that about Anthony?
Which
that,
one?
That he has a dog named Anthony Edwards
now
Jr.
Now he got three or four dogs. Yeah.
He's and named
he
his dog
runs
Jr.
The,
no,
he loves the Twitter account for his dog that is...
That I didn't know.
I know.
Yeah.
No, Anthony, Auntie's hilarious. I mean, he's a great guy. Yeah. He loves his dogs. For sure, more than his newborn kids.
He's probably coming. He's probably my best dad ever. His son. He's probably
for sure.
coming for that.
He take care of his dog better than he take care of me. For sure.
Juancho Hernan Gomez here on the Rich Eisen Show. So, when did you first know you wanted to play basketball? When did that first happen for you?
When I was born.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, both of my parents played basketball. They were so good. My mom played Olympic games.
Right.
My dad was really good, but he got 2 or 3 bad injuries, so he got to retire soon. My brothers play NBA. But the funny thing is they never push us to play basketball. We start playing soccer, as every kid in Spain. Mm-hmm. We want to be soccer players, but we start growing so much. And
so who's your favorite soccer player then growing up?
I take Cristiano Ronaldo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a good one to have. Because we have the fake World Cup trophy on our set right here on the Rich Eisen Show. And did you think for a split second that was real when you came out here?
Yeah.
Did you really?
It shines a lot.
Okay.
I was like, how you guys steal the World Cup?
Okay. Yeah, it's kind of fake. But it does look real.
It
does look very real.
More real than I thought it would.
Is it heavy? Is it sound? Wow.
Pretty good.
Is it the real thing?
We don't know.
Is it a real one?
Don't say that.
We got to get the police in 5 minutes.
But you're too tall to play soccer, right? I mean, correct?
Yeah, but when I was 10, I was...
Okay, you weren't this obvious.
When did the growth spurt hit?
So, I mean, I have like a late growth. I finished growing with 18, 19. So I changed with 14 to 16. I grew like 10 inches or something like that.
Wow.
Like crazy.
Wow. Oh, man. So which Gasol brother did you beat out for this part? Let's be honest here. Let's get into it. Did you ask that of Sandler? Like, who are the other people they looked at? Do they know who else they looked at for this?
I don't know.
You don't care either. You got the role. Yep. I just love that story. You're like goofing around with your brother and your sister and a camera, and you send it in, and you're like, okay, well, at least that's done. And then your phone rings, and now you're in a movie with Netflix and a red.
That's how it was.
How was the red carpet for you the other night? How was that?
It was actually blue. It disappointed me.
Right, right. Okay. The blue carpet.
Yeah, but they always say, hey, let's go to a red carpet. And I say, it was blue, but we look good. I mess around how Adam's dressed like that.
He's.
I love him. I love him. I want to be like Adam when I get older. He just don't care. He's the best human being. He don't care about nothing. He just care about the family. And
let me tell you a story about Adam Sandler.
Yeah, tell me.
So before I did this show and with NFL Network, damn near, wow, 20 years ago, I was on ESPN. Mm-hmm. Long time ago when you were just dreaming of being a soccer superstar up in Spain. And I had hair. And you weren't tall enough yet. But at any rate, I was in Yankee Stadium with him. And, you know, he's from the New England area, mm-hmm. but he's a Yankee fan. And so he was there with his manager, who you probably met a million times over, Sandy Wernick. Did you mm-hmm. meet him? He's everywhere with him. But at any rate, so we're walking around, and the number of people that stopped Adam Sandler for an autograph, a photograph, can you call my brother? Can you call my mom? Can you call my dad? Can you call my sister? Can you leave a message? Can you do my outgoing message? We were stopped, like, honestly, Juancho, we were stopped every 10 feet. He said
I believe that.
To every last person. Not like, I gotta go, I wish I could, but I don't do those sorts of things.
Yeah.
I'm saying every last person.
No, he's the same He's the same right now. We got a shooting at night. I think one of the first two nights I shooting ever. So I kind of knew, I kind of learned everything. So we were shooting until 5 or 6 a.m. It was 500 people on the street. At 5 a.m. in America, it's not like Spain, like we're going out until 6 a.m. It was in America, 5 a.m., cold night in Philly, it was 500 people. And we were so tired after like 12-hour shooting. Like Adam went to say hi and thank you to each one.
Amazing.
And I was like, Adam, how you do that? No buffets. No, he was to the kids. He was nice to everybody every single day.
Well, every kid that meets him feels like they know him already because they've seen all those movies he is a child, pretty much in all of those movies, right? And, you know, my kids are 13, 11, and 8. We showed them Happy Gilmore the other day.
They like it?
They've seen it 3 times.
Yeah.
They can't get enough of it. You know, it's tough now to see them actually play golf and now wind up and try and hit the ball. Like, no, that's technically not how you're supposed to do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, unreal. That is so cool. And his game, too, right? Mm-hmm. Does he have handle? What do you think? He's got a shot.
Basketball?
Yeah,
yeah. He's a great player. He's a great player.
You use the word great.
I told yesterday in an interview, he were like 6'7 and 200 pounds, he will be an NBA player. He got the talent. He see a lot of basketball. He love basketball. He like more basketball than acting, for sure. Like, he watch all my games. He texts me after the games. Even if I play bad, he was like, oh, Juancho, what a rebound you got. Like, 0-4, 6 shots, one rebound. He was like, but what a rebound you got. And I was like, oh, Adam, thank you so much. Like, he cheered for me, and I don't know. He's the best.
He's good people. Juancho Hernan Gomez here on the Rich Eisen Show. Before I send you off and to your weekend, your Friday and your weekend, opening weekend, big opening weekend for you, knock on whatever this is, for Hustle and theaters near you, again, streaming on Netflix starting Wednesday, June 8th. I'd love to get some insight from you. You have some unique insight. You played with the Celtics at the outset of this season.
Yeah.
That they are now 3 wins away from the NBA championship. I mean, the ultimate prize here. What was going on when you were there that clearly they rectified, it seems like? Any insight on what was happening while you were there with the Celtics early on this season, Juancho?
We have a rough start. We got a couple losses, close losses. A new coach, new everything. Everybody tried to find out the roles. And I was so happy there. I was so happy with the city, with the team, with the fans. I see the talent they got. You can see after they trade a couple people how good they were, how good they are right now. They are on the finals, 3 wins for the title. They deserve it. They worked so hard. we just have a bad beginning of the season. We didn't find our game, but I'm happy they changed things and they deserve to win the championship. You know, I'm really cool with everybody. Al Horford is playing amazing. He's a great leader. JT and Jaylen Brown, they are the two best players, and Smart put the heart, and every part fits, and I'm happy for them. I'm truly happy for them, and I hope they get the championship.
No, and I've been following what you've been saying over the last couple of days, Juancho, and I mm-hmm. gave you an opportunity to say it, so now I'm just going to come straight at you. You said there were egos involved early on the season.
You know how NBA works. Everybody want to sign. It was a lot of new pieces together, and a team had to build. Everybody had to accept their roles. Everybody got to give up something from the team.
But there were some issues in role acceptance early on in the season.
It was just tough. It was just we didn't fit together, all of them, and you cannot put like a lot of people together, and it was hard. We gotta work on that, and we got a lot of meetings, and you see how they changed the season. You see how good they are right now. You see on the court, off the court, you see on the bench, you see how they talk each other.
Yes.
So it's beautiful to see how they fix things. For me, outside, when I left there a great people. I left the coach. I left everybody with a good hug, with a good message. And they deserve. They fix things. They love each other. They trust each other. And everybody going for the same goal. And it was beautiful to see how they grow up together.
What was the coach, Ime Udoka? What was he trying to sell at the time? That was maybe there was some buy-in issues. Was there anything going on?
No,
on
it was
that front?
It was you know, a new coach, a new culture. He tried to put defense first. And I feel like it takes time to everybody understand the game, and everybody understand what everybody wanna do and what it costs to win. And you can see after a month they were the number one defense, and they start winning like crazy. We start like 20-20, 50%, and then after that they going crazy, and I'm really happy for them.
Yeah, because I mean that's been part of the conversation leading up to the finals, is that first of the year. Nobody thought that this team could make, you know, you're talking about the play-in tournament, maybe, right? Like that was an idea.
But inside the team, we know how good the talent is. We know how JT, JB, they are all-star. They are right. MVP candidates. We know how Al Horford, Marcus Smart, they fixed the team. Grant Williams, he played great. We got new guys, and they doing a great job. They got young talent like Peyton Pritchard. And they work so hard for now where they are, and that's the reason they deserve.
And so your current team, the Utah Jazz, do you think you're going to have the same coach at the beginning of next year?
I don't know. I mean, I hope so. He's a great coach. He's really smart. He loves the game. We spend a lot of time on the video rooms. And I mean, we were 1-3 away from the game 7 against Dallas. He's that close. We got great players, all-star players, great vets, and I think they got we got all the things it is to work.
Well, we've asked Quinn Snyder to come on the show. We've yet to get him to call in or appear here. So mm-hmm. you're the closest we can get to getting some confirmation on this, Juancho Hernan Gomez. So I believe that coaches should be wearing suits again. Okay. This business of them dressing like they're going to the gym. As soon as the pandemic, the bubble, they just gave up. They gave up the suits. They don't want to wear the suits anymore. A lot of them don't want to wear the suits anymore. They like the comfort level. We think, though, that if push comes to shove, Quinn Snyder would be the first coach to want to put the suit back on.
You think so?
Yes.
That your bet?
What do you think? I mean, look at the way he's not coming in the gym clothes. Like, he's got like a belt that matches the shoes. His shirt is tucked in. His hair is
like, he has style.
Like, he's
swaggy. He's swaggy.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I personally, like, it's all these other coaches that just put a zip on and tie their sneakers. They don't care. They've given up, quite frankly. What do you think? Do you think Quinn Snyder would, what do you think?
I mean,
I don't want to get you in any trouble with your coach.
No, he's not in any trouble. I mean, he dresses nice every day. I mean, as you say, he matches up the shoes with, you the shirt that? We play, yeah. If we play yellow, if we play orange.
I don't know. Does he match your uniform? Is that what you're saying? Like he's specifically
sometimes,
doing it?
Sometimes, yeah, yeah.
Oh, there's no question.
No question.
That's all we need to know.
That's all we need.
He's literally sometimes dressing to match what your guy's uniform is for the night.
I mean, just, yeah, I see sometimes, yeah. I mean.
Sometimes you get the answer to your question without getting a direct answer to the question.
Bingo.
I think, right? Do we get it?
We got it.
Kind of.
Beautiful.
Hey, Rich.
He's invited to the red carpet.
Why don't you say
blue carpet?
Said he's never acted before, right?
Yeah. Well, you're sitting right here.
Yeah, but I'm asking you this. Like, you've never been on the court and, you know, you kind of got bumped by someone. And
wow.
It wasn't hard enough.
Are you
to
saying
knock
flopping?
Out
are you accusing this man of flopping? Like, as acting?
Did I say the F word? I never said. I'm just asking, is there been a moment where maybe you got hit? But it wasn't that hard. You're a big guy and you decide, let me just, like, go down, maybe try to get a call. That's kind of acting.
No, I don't like the flopping. I don't like the big
flopping.
I
never
flops.
Said flopping, Wancho. I never said the F word.
Who's the biggest
flopper? You're going to lay the word there, but. I mean, if you see any video of me flopping, you just show me right now. But I'm telling you, I'm no flop.
Okay.
Biggest flopper in the league.
I don't know.
He's not going to go there.
Kyle Lowry
this
or
this is
Marcus
big
Smart.
Premiere weekend. Don't do this to him. Don't do this to him.
We're here to talking about the movie.
He's like, where do all this NBA talk come from?
Who is the best flop on the movie? You can ask me that.
Who's the best flopper in the movie?
Adam Sandler. He flops every time.
Our friend from Netflix is saying, don't use the word flop as much as you're doing, please. No. This movie's going to kill it, man. It's already got a tremendous amount of buzz. And I can't wait for everyone to see what you do in it. Sandler is great. And the cameos are highly enjoyable. And a lot of people are going to really enjoy it. So do you have an agent now? Do you
Of what?
An acting agent.
No, I don't have one.
What?
Because I told you I'm not an actor. I got a basketball agent.
Juancho, this movie is going to be in theaters tonight. All weekend, all week, NBA Finals, perfect timing for it. Sandler's going to go out and do his thing, which means he goes to New York. I think that's his history or his superstition as he goes to New York
I
for
think
his opener.
Kimmel last night.
Oh, well, he's here in Los Angeles then. All right. So, anyway, this is going to be big. People are going to be knocking on your door.
He's going to start getting residual
Hustle
checks.
Too.
Rich.
Hustle too. Yeah. Right?
I will do that for sure.
Residual checks coming your way. I get some that are 20 some odd years old, man. But stick to the NBA. It's definitely better for your wallet. Let me make sure I get this correct. What is your Instagram and your Twitter? At Juan. Chivalrous?
Juan Chivalrous.
Okay.
41.
Is that your full name?
No, it's like my nickname.
Okay. Number 41. Very good. The man who plays Bo Cruz. Everyone check out Hustle in theaters starting today and tonight and streaming on Netflix next week. Congratulations this, man.
You just made
a video and now look at you. Fantastic. You got a movie that is going around the country that is co-produced by Maverick Carter and, yes, LeBron James. Mm-hmm. Juancho Hernan Gomez, you're welcome here anytime. Thanks for coming.
Thank you so much.
You got
so
it.
Much fun.
TJ's top five to take us to break and take us to the – there, look at that.
That's the picture I'm most proud of.
That's a framer.
Yeah.
That's a framer.
If somebody can print it and send it to my home, I will be so appreciated.
We got it. Don't worry. We got your back. Juancho Hernan Gomez with Adam Sandler and LeBron on the blue carpet. Neat
stuff. That's nice. That's nice.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, having some fun about the Hustle premiere.
He would defend himself.
Juancho Hernan Gomez. What a nice kid.
He's in the back. He can't even defend himself.
I mean,
he might not even heard it happen.
How about Juancho Hernan Gomez, man? Yeah, my sister, my brother. That thing cool, that you man. Said no to last December, just make a tape. Just make a recording. We'll send it in. And then he thought it was terrible. And somehow, some way, Sandler's like, that works.
Movie career.
Love it.
That was badass.
Fun stuff right there. All right. It's what a way to send us to break. Send us to the weekend. Great way to send us to the weekend is TJ's top five, his big ass grab bag full of spite and fury. Take it away, TJ Jefferson.
What in the world is in that bag? What you got in that bag?
Yes, indeed. Like we always do at this time. Kaboom. Guess who stepped in the room? TJ here. Listen, guys. Let's just get to the cut to the chase. All we've been talking about this whole week.
Yes, sir.
Was beef, right? People not liking each other, people slapping each other. This Jock Peterson, Tommy Pham thing just threw us into a tizzy all week. So I had to dig into the big ass grab bag and pull out TJ's top five favorite beefs in sports.
Aha.
Okay. It just felt like we had to do it. And to quote the great Notorious B.I.G., what's beef? Beef is when you need two gats to go to sleep. Beef is when your moms ain't safe up in the street. Beef is when ICU guaranteed to be an ICU. Okay, that's beef. Now coming in at number five.
I thought Notorious B.I.G. said beef is when you illegally roster Jeff Wilson.
Well, he would have said it had he still been here and seen this. Tommy Pham versus Jock Peterson here in 2002.
Conversation starter.
I mean, every day this story just gets better and better. First of all, it's fantasy football. You're supposed to do this with your friends. It's supposed to be real. And most importantly, what's in the name? Fantasy. What's fantasy mean? It's not real. You shouldn't go around slapping somebody. You know how many times I went to slap Ashton in our fantasy league? Whoa, I never slapped him.
Breaking
you
news.
You know what I mean?
Breaking
news. You know what I'm saying? Daniel Acuna, news. I wanted to slap you.
You don't treat
Matt
the
Mazzant.
Moneymaker like that.
You know, Matt Mazzant, I want to slap all the guys in my league, but I don't. But I get it. $10,000 up front. I don't think it was about the money. It seemed to be something a little bit deeper than that. And now we got Mike Trout into this whole situation.
Love it.
Hey, I'm here for it. I know Brockman's here for it. I know Rich and you are fellow here.
We're all here for it.
It's number five on my top sports beef. I gotta put it in there. You know, why not? All right, coming in at number four. This is kind of an old one, happened back in 1994, but it goes to show you, man, like people are strange. And this is, imagine you have a competitor, right? And you guys are neck and neck and you know this person might be slightly better than you. So your thought is, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to hire somebody to take that person out. Because that's what Tonya Harding thought in 1994.
Oh, yes.
When she had a couple guys, Jeff Galooly.
And Jean-Eric Eckhart.
Yeah, whose names we remember and we shouldn't.
Yeah, man.
And I didn't even think about that name till just right now, Rich. That's a shame that's stuck in our mind. But as you know, Nancy got kneecapped with, I don't know whether it's a Slim Jim or a baseball bat or something.
There's a baton.
A baton cracked her in her knee. You had the famous "Why Me" cry, and Tonya Harding, you know, tried to take Nancy out,
that
and she
is
didn't
so
make the Olympics.
Up, man.
It's
really
amazing.
Happened.
It happened,
and then they made a movie
really
out
happened.
Of it with Margot Robbie playing Tonya Harding.
Amazing. That was a good one.
Let me tell you, when you are that mad at somebody that you hire someone to come in and take them out, like Biggie would say, that's beef. All right. Coming in at number three.
Beef.
This one right now.
Sean Eckert was beef.
He was beefy. Yes. Now we've seen Mike Tyson recently, right? Mike's a little bit older, a little bit grayer. But the thing about Mike is he's not some dude you'd ever want to square up with, even at 55, 56 years old. So imagine back in 1988 when you've got a 19, 20 year old Mike Tyson, you know, ferociously terrifying that must be. You know who didn't feel terrified was Mitch Blood Green. I don't know if you guys remember this.
Oh, yes.
1988, those two fought in 86. They had a fight. Tyson won the boxing match. And then in 1988, outside of Dapper Dan's in New York.
Oh, yeah. The car hood and everything.
Apparently, Don King owed Mitch some money. He decided, of all people, I'm going to confront Mike Tyson about it. The result, well, Mitch's left eye and the five stitches in his face will give you the result. Mike Tyson did break his hand, but come on, man. You can't be rolling up on Mike Tyson.
Well, the famous line that preceded the words, he ran, we can't really repeat here in 2022.
And Mitch Blood Green had some things to say about Mike that probably made you understand why he got popped in the face. But as far as sports beefs go, man, I had to put that at number three. Now, number two, this one is a beef, but it almost went left really bad. Now, you know, playing cards is a big part of culture and sports. And apparently, you know, card games, they get kind of competitive and the pot.
It's like fantasy
millionaires,
football.
Yeah, even though they're millionaires, the pot gets high. But I don't think it's always the money. I think it's a lot of it's about pride, right? 2009, something happened on a plane between Gilbert Arenas and Jarvis Crittenden.
Oh, goodness.
Okay. They were playing a game called, I think it was called Bure, I believe it's pronounced. And, you know, it went off into one guy threatening to shoot the other guy.
Oh,
so
my
Gilbert
goodness.
Arenas showed up at work in the locker room of an NBA clubhouse and brought four guns and told Jarvis to pick one. Jarvis is like, I'm already way ahead of you. I brought my own. And he turned around and he's got his own gun loaded and cocked. I mean, I'm glad we can laugh about it now, but this was almost really, really bad. And this put a black eye on the sport. It cost Crittenden his career, and he went down a path that landed some bad things happened to him, and it pretty much put Gilbert on ice too. I'm willing to bet that's a beef, guys. You can't let it get that far, man. Not to where you're bringing guns into the workplace. It just, but I got to put it on there. And like I said, Biggie would say, beef is when you make your enemy start your Jeep. Beef is when you roll no less than 30 deep. Beef is when ICU guaranteed to be an ICU. Now, this number one in the big ass grab bag, this guy fought everybody. And I had to make a list, Rich. He fought opposing players. He fought players that he coached. He fought teammates. He fought three guys in the topless bar. He fought a traveling secretary for the Minnesota Twins. He fought a marshmallow salesman. He fought everybody.
Billy Martin.
Billy Martin against everybody. He from had 19- beef with everyone from 1950 to 1989. If you name it, Billy Martin had a fight with him. And it gave us like one of the greatest lines of all time when Mickey Mantle tried to like stick up for him and say that, you know, a guy was knocked out and maybe that, you know, Roy Rogers rode through the Copa and trigger kicked the man in the head because it was a big fight at Copacabana. Billy Martin fought everybody.
Well done.
Number one.
Big finish. Wow. By the way, three guys in a tapas bar, worst Steve Guttenberg movie ever. Terrible. I wouldn't rent it.
Billy Martin, though, Rich.
Billy versus everyone from 1950 to 89. Pretty funny. Pretty much covers it.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.